Okay, since the Oilam's here and Rabbi Jurovel is here, so I guess we're going to start. The interns had a chance to see Rabbi Jurovel's office and meet with him. I think the best way to touch up his office, Lefi and the Yazdaiti, is it's the world headquarters for the Piggly Wiggly Center. That's right. Okay, there is a company called Piggly Wiggly. So although in the office, Piggly Wiggly seems to be a joke, but in reality, Rabbi Jurovel is dead serious for making sure that no OU product contains any Piggly Wiggly. That's his mission. And Rabbi Jurovel is really in kashrus a isha ashkoilus. He's been around. He's been through many of the major kashrus organizations, and he's been involved in all facets of kashrus. Usually, you have a person; he's an expert in one inyan of kashrus, not the other. Rabbi Jurovel Kanainahara is an expert in many, many facets of kashrus, and therefore it's really a pleasure for us to hear about red flag ingredients, which means ingredients that if you see that word in an ingredient panel, you know that it's a red flag, and he will discuss red flag ingredients with us. Rabbi Jurovel.
Anybody here colorblind? There's nothing to be embarrassed about. There are colorblind people around, but if you're colorblind, you may not be able to see the red flag. There's actually one person that worked here in the office for a long time, was very good at making all kinds of different charts on Excel and sorting things that way. And she actually did it with different colors, were for different classes of ingredients. The problem was that when I gave that file to one of the rabbis here, he said he can't use it because he's colorblind. So if you're looking for red flags, I think we're better off just calling it flagged ingredients because not everyone sees red. I've been told that you've been given a list of ingredients that can be a problem. I heard that such a list exists. I haven't been given that list, so I would have liked it before I spoke. So I'm going to have to. I decided since I don't have a list. And since that list, you must know everything on that list, I'm going to have to come up with certain things that are not on that list. So let's start with water. There is such a thing as trefa water, and there is such a thing as chametz dikka water. And these things actually exist, and they're very, very common. Oh, wow. There's no water on here. Look at this. There's no water. Okay, let's talk about water. And let's talk about something called distilled water. I don't know how many people still use it today, but I remember the days when my daughter patched it with her contact lenses and needed distilled water. I said, why don't you just spit on it? And she really didn't approve. But whatever, they use distilled water. You know what distilled water is? You take water and you cook it, and the vapor goes up, which Chazal actually terms Zaya, and they capture that vapor, and it recondenses into water. So that's called distilled water. The reason they do that is that every component of that water, whether it be hard water or soft water or whatever, every component of the water has its own boiling point. The Eibishter created this world. The teva is that not everything has a boiling point of 212 degrees by atmospheric pressure. at 30 whatever it is on the barometer. Not everything has that boiling point. V'haraya, I'm sure that the Yidden are very, very much into this, and everyone knows how to make whiskey. And what you do when you make whiskey is you have a still, and you take the barley or the corn or whatever it is, you ferment it, and then you have a crude whiskey. But that's not that doesn't give you the kick you're looking for. That's like a good beer, but it's not the same. So you distill it. What do? You put it in a pot still, and you turn on the fire, and the water is going to, and this liquid is going to cook. Now, the teva is that alcohol has a lower boiling point than water. So the alcohol will go up before the water will go up. The vapors that are coming up are the vapors from the alcohol. And that's where the expression comes from, that you can get drunk on the fumes. The fumes are the alcohol. You take these fumes, and I've actually seen this, and you can actually do it in your own house. It's not difficult. And if you really want to know how, ask anyone from North Carolina. They do it all the time. If their last name is Smith or Jones, you know they're in this business. And what you do is you have a little pipe coming up from on the top of the pot. That little pipe, you'll have the fumes going into that little pipe, the steam, the vapor going in there. You take that pipe, you take it up to the roof, you bring it down, you pack the part of the pipe with cold water. So now those fumes, the temperature is going to go down. So what's going to come down is alcohol. That is a distillation process. It's a very crude, simple distillation process. And you can do the same thing with water. What will come down is water, not alcohol. And what you'll be left in the thing is what, especially if you live in Muncie, you look at the inside of your coffee pot, you'll see what's left in the water after you boil it. It only takes a few days. Don't think that it's a grace of chachma. You see right away what's in the water over there. And New York has a different problem, because I'm not sure what the boiling point of the bugs are, but that's a whole different shaila. But Baruch Hashem, we don't have that problem in Muncie. We have other problems. Now, let's take something called whey. There is a chuvas chsam. What? I can't hear you. I'm gonna describe to you where the water is treif. Plain water is not usually treif, but we're talking about distilled water, which is the purest water you can get. Let's take whey. Whey, I'm sure that everybody knows, whey is a byproduct of cheese making. You take milk and you put some rennet in, and you wait a little bit, and you cut it, and you got you have cheese. But you really don't have that much cheese. Only 10% of the milk became cheese. The other 90% became whey. Now, you want to take this whey, and you want to concentrate it, and you want to dry it. So how do you concentrate whey? You want to boil off the water. So what do? You start boiling it, right? And there's machines that are made for this. Some do it with pressure, some do it with vacuum. There's all kinds of nice, beautiful ways to do it. But basically what they're doing is they're boiling off the water, and you're left with a thicker, more concentrated version of what you started. Now that water they're boiling off happens to be pure distilled water. It's distilled water. You analyze it with any chemical test. There's no shaychus to any milk over there. No shaychus to any cheese over there. And you have water. You now have pure distilled water. If you really want, you can take that water, mix it with some orange juice concentrate, and have nice, beautiful, pure orange juice from concentrate. Because you got nice clean water. You don't have to take tap water, start filtering it or what. And places have thousands and thousands of gallons of this water because of all the whey that they're concentrating. Now, whether whey is mutter, whether whey is osur, these are all kinds of different interesting shilas. Just to pull a rabbit out of my hat. There is a Tshuvas Chassam Sofer that says that if you were maimed the cheese with Ur Kevas Novela, the way is Isa Deraisa. And the Chassam Sofer goes weiter that if you would take the cream off of that whey and make butter with that cream, that butter is Isa Deraisa. It's a Tshuvas Chassam Sofer in Yeredeia. It's a very interesting Tshuva. The Chassam Sofer actually says the reason is because the reason why Dovah HaMaimed is not bottle is because of Tam Keiker. And since Tam Keiker Deraisa, the reason Dovah HaMaimed, and this is a Dovah HaMaimed, so the Dovah HaMaimed is not bottle, will go as far as the butter, which is very interesting because there was no Hamada in the butter, there was no Hamada in the whey. The whey came about because you were Maimed the cheese, but there's a Tshuvas Chassam Sofer that says this Mefurish. It's not my Chiddush, it's a Chassam Sofer. But what I'm telling you is that when you evaporate whey, which is Maisim B'chol Yom, you do have lots and lots of water, and water costs money, and people are going to reuse the water. Now, if you want to hear a nightmare, I'll tell you a nightmare that we had. Any Sfardim in this room? Ah, good. Please tell this to every Sfardi around, because they won't believe it from me. I'm an Ashkenazi, but if you tell it to them, they'll believe you. There's a company that makes dextrose, which in this country is known as corn sugar, corn syrup, corn sugar, dried corn syrup, solids, whatever you want to call it. They make it out of corn. The way you make it is you take corn and you wash it and you have starch, and then you take the, after you have all that starch, you treat the starch with an enzyme, and the enzyme will go and convert the starch into sugar. It's a very simple process. And there's a number of major companies in the USA that do it. Now, there's various grades of dextrose. There's dextrose 90, glucose. There's 95% and 99%. 95% is relatively easy to make. 99% is a little bit more complicated. So they could do it, but what they do is this. They found an easy way to do it. They take dried dextrose, powdered dextrose. They dissolve it into water, and they dissolve so much of it into water that until they have the concentration they're looking for, which is 99%. Now, this dinky little company, which is a multinational worth billions of dollars, this little company, which isn't so little, had a different building, a different area where they were making something called wheat starch. They took wheat, they washed the wheat, and after they finished washing the wheat, they had what's known as a slurry. In other words, wheat starch dissolved in water. Now, they can't sell it that way. You want to buy wheat starch, you want it as a powder. So what do? You take that and you evaporate it and you dry it. But you don't want to take this whole slurry to the dryer. It's very expensive. So you put it through an evaporator first. And what happens when you put it through the evaporator? You have pure distilled water, which is the best thing to use to dissolve that powdered dextrose into. So now we have 110% pure chametzdikah water, where they dissolved kidney-stikah dextrose into, and I don't think it's much of a shaila. I think it's vadai that dextrose, which is really dextrose and is labeled corn-derived and corn syrup, that dextrose is zicher chametz. Whether you're over bal yiroh bal yimatza on it, that's a good shaila. It's not a simple shaila. It's a ganz starke, so you might even be over bal yiroh bal yimatza on such a thing. But whatever, if you're not over bal yiroh bal yimatza, you know, it's a problem. It's chametz. Now, for Achenu Adas HaMizroch Shlita, there are lists that are compiled. The lists are usually compiled by people that haven't seen too many factories. So they make what's known as hasharas, or assumptions. And it's a very good assumption to make that corn is corn, and corn is kidneys. And it says corn syrup, and they write letters to the company. It's corn. There's no shaychas to wheat over here. Except it happens to be chametz. That's all. It just happens to be chametz. So water is not the simplest of ingredients. I know it's not on this. This isn't red anyway. It's black and white. They didn't use the color printer, but for some reason they didn't put water on this list. So you should know that water is not as simple as hello, yeah. I can't hear you. I'm sorry. Please, I don't know how. What do I do with it? What? I push it. I can't hear. You mean now they can hear me? That's bad news. Oh, that's bad news. Okay. Okay. This list over here has all kinds of interesting things. I gave you a tray for Shiloh. Chassam Sofer says that the water is deraisa. That's not enough for you. We have a Chassam Sofer that says this water is deraisa. That's not chametz. That's isa behete, which Chassam Sofer says is deraisa. That's not chametz. Savadansiar. So you have a whole year round. You have Pesach. What other example do you want with water? For me, there's a different isa on water. Because I don't know how to swim, so to go into a swimming pool where the water's over my head is a little bit dangerous. So that's a different issur that there is on water, but that's not shavah l'chol nefesh. My kids, when they were younger, knew that they could splash me and go in the deep water and I couldn't chase them. Because they can swim and I can't. Okay, these beautiful list over here says emulsifiers, monoundiglycerides, and polysorbates, stearates, stabilizers, dough conditioners, glycerin, gewaldig. Okay, let's talk about the yesod of an emulsifier, which it doesn't say what it is. It says examples of certain emulsifiers. The aside of an emulsifier, why an emulsifier could be treif, is because ruba deruba of emulsifiers are made starting with a fatty acid. Now, a fatty acid is kishmei kein hu, it comes from fat. Fat, or oil, you should know that in Europe there's a different definition of the word fat than there is in America. There's several definitions. Webster has one definition, that's one getter of fat. The other definition of fat, in the U.S., we have something called partially hydrogenated oils, or fully hydrogenated oils. We have something that we call shortening. I assume you've seen something called Crisco, which is shortening. In Europe, here it's called partially hydrogenated oil. In Europe, it's called fat. In Europe and in the rest of the world, besides the U.S. of A., fat means it's solid, oil means it's liquid. So you say that's worthwhile knowing. You never know when it comes in handy. But let's take either liquid oil or solid oil or fat, makes no difference. The Eibishter created the world, the Teva Habriya is that when you take oil and you split it, you don't use a knife, you use a simple chemical process. It's not a very complicated process. Oil is composed basically of two things. It's composed of glycerin and it's composed of fatty acids. So when you split the oil, you now have glycerin on one side and fatty acids on the other side. And what they do is they let it sit. They split it, but then they have to separate it. One is lighter than the other, so push it, it splits off and they drain it off. What you have now is known as fatty acids, which are kimat worthless because they're mixed together. The Teva Habriya is every single type of oil in this world has its own fatty acid profile. A fatty acid profile means that, and please don't think that I'm that educated, I did graduate high school, that's the limit of my education, and that was B'chaste Hashem, I graduated high school, and it wasn't in New York, so I didn't have to take Regents. So I did manage to graduate high school in Chicago many years ago. There's fatty acids start from, basically you have carbon molecules that make up the fatty acids, and the fatty acids are known by how many molecules it has. It goes anywhere from C6 to C22, C meaning carbon. So each type of fatty acid has a different amount of carbon molecules, and each oil has a mixture of fatty acids. Now you're taking this mixture here. Soybean oil has this much of stearic and this much of oleic and this much of palmitic. B'chahena palm oil has this much. Coconut oil has this much. Sunflower oil has this. What you can do very simply, if someone is in the oil business and they get a shipment of oil and they want to make sure that they're getting what they paid for, they take a sample of the oil, they put it through this machine, and it'll give them the fatty acid profile, and it'll tell them, yeah, this is Taka soybean oil. It's not canola oil, which is very nice. Now, sometimes if they're buying olive oil and they find that they got soybean oil, they may be a little bit upset because it's around the price difference is around 3 times. But that's only ton. But now you have fatty acids. These fatty acids are worthless because they're mixed together. They're worth a little bit, not much. So what they want to do is they want to separate the fatty acids because there's some people that want to buy C6, some people want to buy C12, some people want 16, some want 18. So you have to put the fatty acids through a distillation column. You're going to distill it just like you distilled the water before. So here you're distilling fatty acids. Now the temperatures are a lot higher, but again, the Teva Habriya is that each specific one has its own boiling point. So if you ever drive along the New Jersey Turnpike, you may actually see a distillation column on the side of the road. It looks like a big chimney, but there's plates inside the chimney at various levels. Those plates are called condensers, and that's where there's a cooling element. If the vapor reaches that one, it'll cool down. But the vapor won't reach, depending on the boiling point, the vapor reaches the different ones at different levels. And that's how they separate the fatty acids, by the distillation column and by cooking it up until it's vapor. We're talking very high temperatures. It can be anywhere, it can be in around 400 centigrade. Some of them are very high temperatures. Some they do under vacuum. They usually do a lot under vacuum. But this piece of equipment is not cheap. So let's say you have a place let's call it sorbitan monolaurate, which means it's a combination of sorbitol and lauric acid. Lauric acid does not exist in animal fat. I'm sorry, you know, the good Lord just didn't put any lauric acid into animal fat. Is very nice. But he did put other fatty acids into animal fat, and this same distillation column can and will be glad to distill any kind of fatty acids you want, any mixture you want. So you can easily have lauric acid that was cooked or distilled, or whatever word you want to use, on a still which was used for animal fat. It's a normal thing. Now, I just want to say that this is almost a Davar Shalem when it says here, monoglycerides and polysorbate. Sorbitan monolaurate is also known as polysorbate 20. But it says here polysorbates. The difference between a polysorbate and whether it's just that chemical name is whether they put it through ethylene oxide or not. So you can have Lamarshal sorbitan monostearate, which is polysorbate 60. Sorbitan monostearate, I think, is 60. And you can also have a polysorbate 60. The difference is whether they're ethoxylated or not. But the ingredients are pretty much the same. So the fact that you have a fatty acid, and the fatty acid is coming bedafka from vegetable, you know you can't get this fatty acid from anywhere but vegetable. It's not a guarantee that you're dealing with something that's kosher. Now, again, there's all kinds of heterim that can be used in a b'dievedika situation. The reason it'll be usa here is probably either if it was cleaned out, then it would be usa because of chanan, which we pass in the Ramah is machmir that we say chanan b'shari surim. Sfardim don't say, Sfardim paskin like the Mechaber. Mechaber says you don't say Chanan b'shari surim, only by Basa b'chalav. But Lamaisa, it's a dangerous way to live, even for a Sfardi, because you're assuming that they cleaned out the still in between one fat and the next. And they really have no reason to, because they're selling the finished product. The finished product is not going to have any trace of any impurity. So there's no reason to clean it out. A little bit of animal fat that's left in this still is not going to hurt the lauric acid because it won't get any lauric acid from the animal fat. But you do have be'en when it's cooked together. And that be'en is not necessarily going to be buckle. You want more red flags? On the list or not on the list? You want it from the list?
No, you do not on the list also.
I've only done the ones not on the list. I mean, the list has everything. You didn't leave me too much, but alright. Glycerin is a lot of fun. There's three different methods used to the. There's three ways that the glycerin is made commercially. Glycerin can be made from vegetable fat or vegetable oil. Glycerin can be made from animal fat. We just described both those processes. Basically, you're just splitting the fat. And glycerin is also made from petroleum. Since the Arabs have raised the price of petroleum so high, there are several places around the world that have stopped producing glycerin from petroleum because it's pasha not worth it. The price, and there's a new chiddush in the world, and it's interesting how you see mamish b'chush. Everything that happens in this world is for us. There's a new chiddush in the world called biodiesel. They want that to replace gasoline, the diesel fuel, because they think it'll be cheaper. Well, nice, it's not cheaper. The government's subsidizing it, but that's a whole different story. But every time you make biodiesel, you're left with glycerin. So there is a glut of biodiesel glycerin around in the world now, and the price of glycerin today, the world price of glycerin is so low that it's never been lower than it's been today. And so Lemaisa, it's very difficult to find synthetic glycerin today. There is a place called Dow in Freeport, Texas, which is, if they're still producing, they're only producing very, very little. And the reason, what?
What is biodiesel made out of?
Biodiesel is officially you take an oil and you react it with methanol and you now have diesel fuel. But what you're doing is you're making a reaction with the fatty acid in the oil with the methanol. And so when you're taking out the fatty acid in the oil, you're left with glycerin. So they have to sell the glycerin somewhere. That's what it is. That's what biodiesel is. Now, biodiesel glycerin is lav dafka kosher. There is a brand of biodiesel that's known as Biodiesel Willie because it has a hechsher from some poyer named Willie Nelson. And Willie Nelson, who drives a truck, so he knows what diesel fuel is. So Willie Nelson gives a hechsher to biodiesel. And there's a brand called biodiesel. There's actually gas stations that sell biodiesel Willie. Biodiesel Willie is made from used restaurant oil. The restaurants make, they say that if you have a car that can run on diesel fuel, you have a problem because it may smell like a cheeseburger. Because they take the used oil from McDonald's, and they make the biodiesel out of that, and then you fill your tank with that, and so schmeckt, yeah, some of them really smell. So lemaisa, not all biodiesel glycerin would be kosher, because if it came from McDonald's, it's lav dafka. McDonald's actually uses some lard in their french fries. McDonald's bedafka does it. And biodiesel means it grows, that's all. So, but they have a heter to use animal fat also. So not all biodiesel is kosher. There are biodiesel places that make it out of what's known as pure virgin oil. And there are biodiesel places that make it out of restaurant oil. Now just think, you can have a deal with McDonald's, you pick up their oil, and you have a very cheap supply of oil to make your biodiesel. So,
can you tell in a lab where the glycerin is made?
No, impossible. Refined glycerin is refined glycerin. You cannot know what the origin is. The finished product is the same. It's the same as alcohol. Take alcohol, unless you can talk to it, and if you drink enough of it, it probably will answer you. But can sein that some people have a sprach with it. But the alcohol is not going to tell you it's yichus. Even if you got this alcohol as a lechayim from some rebbe, it still won't tell you the yichus, and it won't tell you if it's from wheat or from corn or from petroleum. And gradually, you should know that there's great alumnus in the alcohol industry, b'chlal, and you actually see chachma bagoyim in some of this alumnus. There are some smelly Arabs in Saudi Arabia, and Pasha don't have shower facilities over there. On the Sahegs, the kids are, they have a problem. The problem is that their religion assers doing business with alcohol. So they have a big problem because one of the byproducts of petroleum is alcohol. And they were selling a belt of synthetic alcohol to companies here in the U.S. They're selling it throughout the world. And they had a big problem. They're going against, they're afraid that Muhammad is gonna send his donkey to bite them. I mean, his donkey's a holy object. And Muhammad's donkey's name was Burak. You know, the Ovid Avodah Zarah, you think it was just Bilam. Muhammad also had a donkey over there. No. So they had a problem. The Quran says they can't deal with alcohol. So they put their best brains to work, and in consultation with various yeshivas and batedinim in Yerushalayim, they came up with aga'aynis. Bilsen az aga'aynis. We only manufacture crude alcohol. Crude alcohol is not roi l'shia. Crude alcohol has to be redistilled before it can be used. Memela, we're not being over the chayk. This is what the Saudi Arabian Council can. You see what kind of hatam you can come up with. Afgelt. Even the Arabs over there become gay salam donim. But lemaisa, the alcohol. If you have 200 proof alcohol, pure alcohol, you have absolutely no way to know where it came from. You can put it under a machine called a GC, gas chromatography. It won't tell you. 190 proof, it might, but not 200 proof. It's pure alcohol. The difference between alcohol made from petroleum and alcohol made from wheat is one of them is osur on Pesach and one of them is mutter on Pesach. It's as simple as that. But you can't tell. Glycerin, you can't tell where it's made from. For refined glycerin, there's no way to tell. So if someone has glycerin min ashuk, they're playing with fire. Glycerin can easily be from animal, it can be from vegetable, and it can be from mixed plants. Yeah? Nishtana doesn't help for deraisa. Nishtana only helps for the Rabbanan at best. And that's a lav dafka a luchat chila. That's a shayla. But for the Raisa, Nishtana zicha doesn't help. That's how we paskin. I don't know of one. If you know of it, let me know. Rav Moshe was mata glycerin? Not that I know of. Glycerin has a taste. Yes, glycerin has a sweet taste. So, let's see. What else do we have here? I've vegetable oil is right. It's a very, the same situation. Vegetable oil is refined. If you get crude vegetable oil, just crushed right out of the vegetable. I was right at a place once in, I think it's near Cortland, New York. I was at a place once that was crushing soybeans. And they had crude soybean oil. I remember I saw the soybeans, they were crushing it. It was as crude as could be. I said, ah, all natural. Just think, I can bring home a little bottle of oil. My wife's going to say it's healthy and what. Ugh, it's terrible stuff. Ugh, it tastes terrible. It looks terrible. It smells terrible. That's not the oil that you would eat. Unless, of course, you're into health foods. But that, the ones that are into health foods will eat anything. There's no shyla in that. But oil, b'derech klal, is refined. It goes through three stages called refining, bleaching, and deodorizing. Now, the same process, slight changes, but the bleaching and the deodorizing for sure are done with animal fat also. I was in a number of oil plants where they actually did tallow, lard, vegetable, and they had just one set of equipment. You want it? We'll do it. Just tell us how much and when you want it. I was in a plant, it was not that long ago, a year and a half ago, in Brazil. Nebach, the oilam there was getting their oil from this plant because it was an all-vegetable plant. And Fidel Castro decided that he wanted lard from that plant. Once a month, he wanted a huge shipment of lard. So for Fidel Castro, they gave him lard. But now the oilam in Sao Paulo couldn't get oil from that plant anymore. It was a major problem because that oil was going into mayonnaise productions and what. They had to work with different supplies. But it is a common thing that they do use the same equipment. In America, Baruch Hashem, the Eibishter gave a machla to the world called mad cow disease. And people are very much more hesitant now to use any animal products than they used to be. So the consumption of animal fat is way down, but it still exists. And in America, there's two places that I know of that still do animal. There used to be 20 places. Now there's two places that do animal and vegetable. Both those places, you can get kosher oil out of both those places because the OU has hashgacha there on separate lines. But you can't just buy any oil out of that factory. But in other countries, in Europe, there's animal fat all over the place. It's a normal thing. Nothing new about it.
But I mean, that you have to put it on the packaging.
Yeah.
Is that only from animal, or can it be from both?
Trans fat is not from animal.
No,
trans fat is hydrogenated. They don't like the hydrogenation process of the tropical oils. But there are ways around it which are just as unhealthy, and it still accomplishes the same purpose. But it'll take them another 20 years to catch on. Can't hear you.
What part of the process of making the vegetable oil can be animal fats?
The animal fats are not included. They share the equipment. We're talking about the refining process, the bleaching, the deodorizing, long before hydrogenation. Liquid oils go through processes that are the same processes as animal fat. The bleaching and the deodorizing are done at very high temperatures. Basically, the issue is the blea and the kalem. Deodorizers are machines that if they clean them, it's usually, if they clean them once a year, it's a lot. Sometimes they clean them once every 5 years. Sometimes they wait until it breaks. But to take apart a deodorizer is a major piece of work. Can you hear what he said? Neither can I. Sorry.
Extra virgin oil.
What?
Extra virgin oil.
Yeah, extra virgin oil. New extra virgin olive oil. It has a certain fatty acid profile. New, what about it? Extra virgin olive oil is it comes from the olives. The OU's position is that extra virgin olive oil does not need a hechsher, and that is based on many different factors. But that is the OU's position. It's enough. We did water. Water should be enough to scare everybody. We're not talking about fleishig of water using mikveh vaser in Mayim Chaim soda. That's not what we're talking about. Well, not New York City water. That has protein additives that are a different problem.
Is water no longer one?
The aside is that, and this is why I hate these lists, the aside is that if you're going to do kashrus based on a manual and based on lists and not engage your brain and think, then you're part of the cause of the problem, not the solution. Someone has to think, and someone has to keep their eyes open, and you have to see what's happening. And there's things changing all the time. I don't have Ruach HaKodesh, so I have no idea what's going on out there. When I go somewhere and I see something, fine. If a Mashgiach goes out there and reports it, it's very nice. This business of the Chametz Dekadextros, a year ago, I didn't know about it. I found out because one of the people here in the office went to the factory and he saw it. These are things you can have all the lists you like. It doesn't help if you don't. There's a bumper sticker that I've seen which is very apropos. The bumper sticker says, "Please put your brain in gear before. Please engage your brain before putting mouth into gear." For those that drive a standard shift, you have to think, and you have to understand what you're doing. And if you don't understand, then you have to ask questions. Don't just be in Kabbalah hi nekabel. Things change, mistakes happen, and by overlooking the mistake and not finding out what's happening at the factory and just walking in and doing what is known in the trade as just blessing it, or to term a mashgiach going to a factory to term him as a babysitter, that is what causes problems. And what I can't say it causes the problems, but it perpetuates problems in kashrus. Yeah. You sure you're talking about Carmine and not cream of tartar? I don't understand the reasoning behind it. I wasn't part of that discussion, so I cannot speak to you intelligently about it. I'm sorry. I don't know. I have no idea. I didn't say. Well, it's not just the Arabs. They're doing it in Tuscola, Illinois also. There's one of the things that you get when you crack petroleum is something called ethylene, which is a gas. And there is a chemical process whereby you can crack the ethylene and convert it into ethanol, which is alcohol. Well, that's totally in which Arab you ask. But, yeah.
Yeah.
Believe me, it's 100% pure alcohol. This is a heter they came up with. It's a Nishdaisgehalten, but that's okay. They can burn together with the donkey. Yeah. Yeah, I happen to have a raya from a Targum Yonason that one of the major debates among people is which are the best wines, whether it's the sweet or the dry or the semi-dry. And all the feinschmeckers say that sweet wine is garbage and dry wine is the real wine. Zariah from a Targum Yonason and Parshas Ekev, not like that. Targum Yonason and Parshas Ekev says Eretz Chita Se'ira Geffen Se'ina V'Rimayin. Targum Yonason teaches by Geffen that the Geffen that you're going to make wine from, which is going to be strong and sweet. Now, anyone that knows anything about winemaking knows that the only way to make sweet wine, which is strong, is by adding sugar. There was, I did check into this, there was a maisa around 50 years ago in Eretz Yisrael that the grapes were so sweet that year, they stayed on the vine so long that year they didn't have to add sugar. So the maila of Eretz Yisrael, Targum Yonason says that you'll be able to make strong wine. A lot of the sweet wine without sugar is low alcohol because they stop the fermentation. He says full strength wine that's sweet. As they state in Targum Yonason. That's to answer the people that make fun of me for drinking sweet wine. It's a very interesting Targum Yonason. Look it up.
Okay, one last question? Yeah?
Maybe it's not be next week. What is a dough conditioner? It's just on the list.
A dough conditioner is something that helps in the baking process, meaning that in dough you have all kinds of things. You have water, you have oil, which have a teva not to mix together. And if they have clumps of water here and oil there, you won't get a consistent loaf. So a dough conditioner acts somewhat as an emulsifier, and it lets the dough become one homogeneous unit. That's what a dough conditioner is. It's usually made out of combinations of monodiglycerides, polysorbates, and sodium stearolactylate. Yeah.
Is there anything other than water that we should watch out for when reading ingredients?
Yes, you should watch out for everything and understand what you're reading. There's actually courses given in elementary school and in high school. It wasn't given when I went to school, but the courses are called reading comprehension. Yeah. Bring me an ingredient list and I'll tell you what to watch out for. Yeah. Most distilled water is kosher. What I did was I used it for the shock value. Ruba de ruba of distilled water is kosher. But it's not something you should just take for granted on a factory level.
Does the OU have maybe on their website a list of commercial products that do not need a
hedge? I don't know if it's on the website because I never looked at the website, but I certainly hope not.
Rabbi Luban, who deals with that, says no. Okay. Shkoyach Rav Jura.